Hello. Happy Father's Day. This is Swan.
And this is Nasa.
You're listening to Eek and Worm on Radio Free Brooklyn.
I also almost said Eagle. It's weird.
You're listening to Eagle and Worm. Oh, we don't need ink anymore. We now write in Eagle.
Yes. As is the American way.
Of course. Eagles are great. So, and then I actually am going to let you take over today, which is exciting.
Yay!
NASA-driven show.
I know. This is going to be a fun one for me. So we're here with a couple. Well, we're here with my friend Kayla, who is, I'm taking your Twitter. Her life is a perfect graveyard of buried hopes. Co-creator of Two Girls, One Asian, on the board for The Infinite List, and writer of Ambition Killers, which is Ambition,
the female American serial killer musical.
There we go, which is something we'll be talking about, as well as her work with Undiscovered Countries, a really great festival that you put on bi-monthly. And we will also be joined by my friend Alton Albaro, who I do not have a Twitter intro for him, but he is an actor, a producer, mm-hmm. a writer, and an all-around great guy. So he's just running a little bit late, and Swan has run up to wait for him. So until she comes back, we're just going to kind of talk for a little bit, and then we'll go ahead with a free write a little bit later. Anyway, oh, hello.
I'm back.
Yeah. No, Alton. All right. So I guess what we could talk about right now, I want to wait for Alton to talk about Undiscovered, since it's kind of something that you both do. But I want to hear a little bit about Ambition, if that's cool.
Yeah, totally. So we just opened this new musical that I wrote. It's called Ambition, the Female American Serial Killer Musical. On Monday, we did a performance at AntFest at Ars Nova, and that was a one-night-only gig. So then we opened on Friday night a six-performance run down at Tom Noonan's Paradise Factory in the East Village. Mm-hmm. It's part of the Planet Connections Theater Festivity, which is a really great eco-friendly festival that runs downtown. And so we have five more performances of that. It's a musical about three historical female American serial killers, as the title would suggest. But it's really sort of about, well, I think, how sort of these three women were all faced with extraordinary obstacles and sort of systemic oppression and responded by killing a lot of people, which, like, is, you know, not maybe the best choice, but, like, when you look at their lives, you can really see sort of, like, what led them to this, like, well, mm-hmm. killing sprees.
Well, it's interesting because in the little research I did, most serial killers are male.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's what the numbers report, actually. What is so interesting is that there's female serial killers often go for much longer without being caught. So the average time span for a male serial killer to go before getting arrested or being investigated is like 2-3 years sometimes, depending on how often that they're active. But female serial killers have an average of going like 10 years before being caught. So, you know, it's also a question of, like, who knows if all of them are even, like, caught in the deed, because women serial killer patterns tend to be, like, they kill people close to them. They kill their family. They kill their husbands, usually mm-hmm. for money. And so that's a lot harder to track because
the whole, like, Black Widow archetype.
Yeah, yeah, that actually proves kind of true. But also, like, nurses are a common serial killer. It's generally women in, like, caretaker positions that aren't investigated because they're sort of, like, fulfilling their womanly duties.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's so that's weird and scary.
I know. Creepy, but also me and Nasa are like eyes lit up like, what?
I know, I'm so excited. I'm a huge history nerd, and I really specifically love, like, unknown history or, like, stories that people don't think about that often. So the idea of, like, there being three serial killers, and what time period is the play set in?
All different time periods. So Belle Gunness was most active killing people in, like, 1900 to 1910. Jane Toppin, who was a nurse, who was killing people with strychnine and morphine in the early turn of the century as well, like between 1910 and 1920, and then actually a little earlier, up till about 1910 as well. And then Nanny Doss was, like, a housewife who was killing all her husbands in, like, the 50s, 60s.
Ask a strange question.
Yeah, totally.
So it seems like the women are using more, I guess, less flashy things. Like, I'm curious if there's any women who are... I feel like sometimes guy serial killers are, like, cutting up parts and saving them and, like, weird things like that. Do you know the statistics behind, I guess, maybe kinks and fetishes?
Yeah, actually, most women kill for, like, sort of, like, really practical reasons, like money, like, revenge.
Or, like, my husband was going to kill me, so I killed him first.
Right, yeah, back, totally. But there's a lot less of, like, killing for pleasure, killing random people, and cutting up their bodies, although a lot of these women, like, at least Belle Gunness, she was out in a farm in Indiana, and sorry, I'm getting really excited. I love talking about her because she's crazy. She would write these ads telling, like, men who were unmarried to come and show up. She was a widow. She said, come and show up with your money. We'll join fortunes. I have this big farm. It'll be great. And then usually on, like, the first or second night that they were there, she would put something in their coffee. They would knock out. Then she would, like, smash their heads to death, and then she would cut them up and put them around her property. And they only discovered this because when she was finally getting found out, she had a farmhand who, like, tipped her off. She decided to burn down her farmhouse with all of her kids inside, and she found, like, this drifter lady that she put in the bed as her. She, like, arranged the kids around them, set it on fire, and ran. He was supposed to escape with her, but she left her farmhand behind, hopped a train, and no one ever saw her again. There are, like, conspiracy theorists who think she's, like, the arsenic and old lace killer. Oh, one of them, if you look at pictures side by side, is very similar, but, like, who knows? But basically, yeah, she's the only one that really, like, cut up bodies and stuff, but it was more for practical purposes of, like, stashing
what do you do with
them
a body?
Away. Yeah, she fed them to her pigs too.
Yeah, pigs are handy. Pigs and plants, man, they'll help you out. We have a new person in the studio.
Yeah.
Hi.
I'm Alton.
Hi, Alton.
Hi.
Hello.
And Nate's already introduced you.
I did.
So hopefully she didn't mess up.
Yeah.
You don't get to fact check.
Okay.
I made up some pretty wild things. So.
I like my history of fables.
Yeah. And two things. Did we lock the front door?
I did.
Perfect. And then second thing, the mics literally have to be right by your mouth.
Okay.
And then I have an easier job editing, and people can hear you live better. So I feel like this is a good segue to say, surprise, we're going to do spontaneous creativity and have you write.
Whoa.
So this is paper and pens for
you.
Oh,
my gosh.
And this is a practice called river writing, and basically big breath in, big breath out. No pressure. There's no pressure. I will read a poem. If there's a line or a word or an idea that's jumping out to you, use that as your starting point for a free write, and we're going to write for 5-ish minutes. If nothing's jumping out to you, you can write against the prompt and just, today I had coffee and it was so perfect, or whatever, I don't know. And then just kind of train of thought flowing like a river. If you get stuck or, like, your pen stops, go back to that first line or say, what I really want to say is blank. The poem is a tiny bit darker, but I felt like that was appropriate. And it's a little bit shorter, but I will just read it once. So it's called Bloody Mary by April Bernard. Note, who's got to go? Today, don't fuss about the means. Just go ahead, behead, impale, starve, strapado. The sheer assortment of choices enough to make a crown crow. They never loved me enough. It must be said they were a disappointment. When Divine Mother love wears out, I just reverse the robe from blue to red. I like a flat ground to build the next town, empire, or city empire of disgust. All the waste you see, that's what I did. None of that happened to me. I did that. I made that. I killed that. I. So again, if you're just tuning in, we're just doing a quick 5-minute free write. you take about a minute and wrap up the thought you're holding. We all did. Awesome. We all finished at the same time. Great. So this also contains within it an invitation to read what you wrote. I didn't tell you that part. No obligation, but we would love to hear if you're willing to share.
Totally, yeah. Okay. Why not?
Why not? I will start because I'm not the writer, so I'll feel less embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed.
I should just read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
Bloody Mary, the sheer assortment of choices enough to make a crown. None of that happened to me. I did that. I did. Pour the red liquid into the vessel, crowned with the olives and olive branches and celery with no nutritional value, and maybe a piece of meat. The tumbler tumbles, the concoction for everyone here this morning. The bunch of brunchers dying of thirst. Just wait, I say. Just wait, and you'll be satisfied. My thirst will be quenched as well as theirs, but theirs is finite, and mine is everlasting. The glass is half full. Mary, I call out. Your Bloody Mary.
Yay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, sure. Okay, here's what I wrote. The town going so great. The house where I grew up was nondescript, a blip of Americana in a sea of it, a drop of suburbia in a lake of dysfunction. It fulfilled its duty as well as I did, to blend, to remain unremarkable, to float in stasis. That house stands still while the town has grown around it, shifting from mediocrity into bourgeoisie, attaining the possible, never reaching higher. In the dark of night, I stole away, traversing the country for something less simple. The carnage that lay in my wake was just as simple as the home I'd left behind.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. Lisa, any interest in sharing?
Yes, I will share this week. All right, let me get close. Okay. Mm-hmm. Keep switching the robe. It is dirty and cold, but if reversed, it will be beautiful again. I'm afraid I don't recognize the world anymore. Something has changed. I did that. Something is wrong. Reverse again. Try to make it all clean again. A little less fragrant of stench, a little less paled by the sun. I fear I will never wear a new robe again, but I'll take solace in what I can do and reverse, reverse, reverse.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I love your snapping. Thank you for snapping.
Of course.
I'll share mine. To make a crown, with what materials? Are we influenced by fairies finding flowers and greens to place atop our tresses? Do we find bones and ligaments and lace them up together, a display of death and the sustaining of one life at the cost of another? Do we find ore and fire and hammer a crown to defy decay? Something metallic or cold or golden, catching light and shining back at the glow? Or perhaps garnish the head with clouds, with planets and stars. That's
nice.
Thanks for doing that, guys. This is something we like to do. So
that was fun.
Back to serial killers. Just kidding. Specifically female serial killers. So go ahead, Nisa.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Did you have anything else that you had wanted to talk about? I'm really excited about Ambition and just am sitting here just trying to learn as much as I can about it. I'm going to see it on the 7th.
The 2nd of July.
Of July.
Very cool.
So I'm just like, tell me all about it so I can be prepped.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wrote it starting with sort of just like a Wikipedia spiral, you know, how it is.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually like reading like this BuzzFeed BuzzFeed list of like women killers, and then I just like got more and more specific with it, as all good internet searches do. But yeah, that's sort of how it started. I've always been fascinated, like you, with history and like nerdy stuff. But I do think that like there's something about the telling of his like true histories and really like seeing how these crazy things happened that's sort of like a little comforting to me, because at least, you know, the world has always been as crazy as it is right now, and you know, we can try and learn from the past, but also like it's sort of comforting to know like that there were other times that were just as confusing.
That humanity is essentially humanity and will always be that way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
How did it eventually turn into a musical?
Well, the first workshop we did of it was actually at Undiscovered Countries in September for our third birthday party. Oh my god, we're so old. We did a little
solid toddler.
I know, you'd be going to preschool.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I had wanted to write this as sort of like a song cycle about American serial killers, just because I am really competitive and I saw other people writing musicals and I was like, I can do that. Which I did. I wrote a musical.
That's a great reason. I know, that might be my favorite reason to decide to write a musical.
I wrote a musical before about the Donner Party, which was fun.
Right.
Which is also really good.
Yeah.
And dark.
And
that's
dark.
My shtick, I guess, is like killing people. Very Sweeney Todd. But yeah, so that was how it all got started. We did like 5 songs at this first presentation back in September, and then we expanded it and did a workshop at Dixon Place in January, and that was actually sort of when there got to be more text in it. Before it was sort of just like songs strung together with little intros, but yeah, so now it's like a full-fledged like scenes and monologues.
Ooh.
And songs shindig.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really great. One more quick. Well, you can tell.
Well, I'm just curious, if, from your perspective, how much is fictionalized and how much is historical?
Totally. I think most of the events that I talk about are in the musical are pretty historically accurate. Like, I definitely changed around. I changed one name to make it funnier, but I kept most of it. This woman married this guy named Oramel Abraham, and then I changed his last name to make it more ridiculous. But Oramel Abraham, like, oh my god, what a great name.
That's so good.
Most of the events are totally historical. Pretty much all of the characters, with the exception of like a nurse and a maid and a woman in the grocery store, are like people who actually were around these ladies and got killed by them for the most part. And yeah, I did a lot of research, but it's weird how much is like sort of hard to find. Like if you look at, you know, like a Ted Bundy or Jeffrey Dahmer Wikipedia page, it's like a book right there. Mm-hmm. But I went to the New York Public Library and there were like 13 books that even sort of like mentioned female serial killers as a chapter. So it's a little more digging, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that like a lot of the like emotions and stuff obviously are imagined and projected, but it's pretty accurate for as far as like you know, it's not like in cold blood
like
or anything.
Events.
Yeah.
I do want to get to talking about Undiscovered Countries, because
yes.
I love that mm-hmm. festival, and I'm just like really excited for it, and I hope it's okay. I keep calling it a festival. I think that's correct.
No, that's the terminology.
Yes,
we use a lot of different words.
But I was interested because I was reading the blip about it, I suppose, on your Kickstarter. So it's a lot of jazz music, jazzy kind of.
The Ambition.
Yes.
It's sort of jazz influence. I think the only thing that really like holds it together musically is it's all sort of Americana. Like we have some folky songs, some like sort of like bar shanty type songs. but it is sort of like just generally American sounded music. Yeah.
That's really exciting. And we will have like a link to the show and to where people can purchase tickets.
Oh, sweet. Awesome.
If anybody is
we'll
interested.
Have links. And Nace and I will be there July 2nd.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
If you want to come hang out with us.
Come get some music in. But yeah, I did want to ask about or talk about Undiscovered Countries. As you had mentioned, it's been going on for over 3 years.
Yeah, we're coming up on 4 this September.
Years, yeah.
What?
Yeah, so we started this back in September. Oh, my God. Math. 2012. Oh, my God. Seriously bad 12, math.
2014.
Do you remember?
Yeah, in 2012, we did a reading down at the venue that's now closed, Goodbye Blue Monday, where we lived for a couple years. When they closed down, we venue hopped a little bit, but we've pretty solidly ended up at Bazaar Bushwick down the street. We are a festival of all new and developing work. So people come in with work at any stage of development, at as long as it's not done, obviously, and any sort of medium. And we present it, and we really try and encourage pieces to keep developing and to get to whatever their final stage is, but mostly just throwing things up in front of an audience, seeing what lands. And sort of a free way for artists and audiences to see what the community is up to.
And you guys hold open calls, basically. You're like, do you want to be involved in this themed show? Send us your ideas. What is the sorting and selection process like? Are you guys overwhelmed and you have to tell people no? Or are you able to accommodate most of the things that are submitted? I'm curious.
I feel like we're usually able to accommodate most of the people, and if it does become like two, we can't have people in a bar for like 4 hours.
only three and a half hours.
Only like 3:45 maybe. But then we do ask people who like maybe present more often with us to maybe present the next festival. Mm-hmm. But we usually are able to accommodate, and like even if it is asking for shorter times, just like trying to get as much people in the room as possible and as much as things shown.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask a kind of standard question, but I'm also very interested in
this. You've been there many times.
Yes, I have. I've been on stage a lot.
A lot.
Weren't you you were in the first one too, right?
I was, yeah.
So you've been there since the beginning.
It was your play, actually.
Yeah, yeah. We read The Imperialist. Both of you were in it.
Yeah.
Hi. Look at us. 4 years later.
It was like a cast of 20, wasn't it?
It was
like 25.
It was a lot of people.
It was so many people.
Play.
And that was back so in the good. Time when it was full plays too. Now it tends to get cut down to like 10 to 20-minute pieces.
Sequence, yeah.
Yeah, we find it's kind of hard to ask people in a bar to listen to an undone
reading.
Play for 2 hours. Yeah. Like, it's better to have a private reading for that.
Yeah.
But that was a lot when we used to do that. My God.
Multiple full-length plays?
We'd usually just have one, and then sometimes, like, a shorter thing, too.
Yeah.
But
there was, like, one axe that went up.
The reading of the
Reservoir
internet searches.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy.
Sorry, this is down memory lane right now.
Yeah, no, that was referring to a performance where Caroline Faustine helmed it and had found all the leaked Yahoo searches that were like, dog, dog, how do I get dog? Where do I find dog? Where's my nearest dog store? Like, they were funnier than that,
oh,
though.
It was so funny.
I was entertained by it.
But now it's a lot of short pieces, and I was so happy when I found out 4 years ago now, that you guys were doing this, because it's a really great opportunity. I remember it started when we were just out of college,
mm-hmm.
So it was just this really great opportunity for people who are just out of college or people who are starting new work to get to actually present something, and I was wondering if you wanted to talk about that and what it was that started Undiscovered Country.
That's Kayla.
Well, yeah, we started with a reading of my play, The Imperialist. Caroline wanted to direct it, and we needed a space to put it up, so we started talking to the people at Goodbye Blue Monday, and she sort of set up this monthly thing initially where we would go every month, which was crazy.
It was for like 2 years, right?
For 2 years, we did shows every month.
Every month.
And then we all got too busy, so we did every other month now, but that's sort of like a more realistic timeline. Everyone can make sure the quality of work is there and that we're not just throwing something up to throw it up, although that happens too sometimes. But basically we started it as a place for artists to have a safe space to show work that they wouldn't have to pay for, audiences wouldn't have to pay. So, you know, like there's sort of a like level of transaction removed when the audience is coming in for free. You know, like they feel like they can leave if they want to, or they can, and they also feel like they know the work is new. So there's sort of a really cool trust, I think, that we have in our audiences, just because everyone knows these things are being worked on and they're in development and in process. And I think there's something really cool about having all that in a setting where no one has to pay money.
Yeah, and everyone wants to be there, I think, is like the main thing. No one feels obligated to.
Well, yeah. I'm curious in your writing process how much you cut out. I feel like cutting and editing is a big part of writing, and I don't know if that has crossed over in your work.
Oh, yeah, totally. I remember reading Stephen King's book on writing, and he was talking about editing, and I was like, am I really supposed to cut that much? He said something like,
I think, like two-thirds or something, like, and you're like,
Yeah, and but that's really, like, sort of what it is like, you know, sometimes I like to, like, put it away for a second, whatever I've written, and try and write it from memory, and, like, whatever sticks is, like, what was good. There's a lot of, I feel like, writing is mostly editing and some writing, but like mostly just cutting down what you've like piled up.
Yeah.
Yeah, kill your darling.
Yeah, oh my God. It kills me though. We just had to
I think
someone like that.
Someone smart that like, wrote a lot.
Certainly somebody intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah. Some dude.
some white guy. Some white guy.
It was actually just a random guy who was just killing.
Yeah. Serial killer. Was someone tripping on acid and an elephant told him?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No, we just had to cut a song from Ambition a couple weeks ago, and it was really sad because, like,
it just,
you know,
it just wasn't working.
Yeah,
or?
Like it was. I thought it was really funny, but I don't know if it was actually funny. But it was basically a 2-minute song that had one joke in it, and I just loved the joke so much I didn't want to cut it. But
give us a sample.
It was just this joke where Belle Gunness had like taught her kids, we're teaching them how to flirt and we're teaching them how to butcher so they would be able to find work as women out in the world, and was like, oh, you guys are doing so good, and then they leave. And she sings a whole song about how stupid her daughters are. But it was too much. The director was right. I should have cut it, and I did. But it's hard. It's really hard to part with that stuff.
Yeah, like, but it was funny, and I made it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
We put so much work into it. That, like, really doesn't matter how much work you put into it. Yeah. You just gotta let it go.
Yeah. And it's interesting, I'm sure. It sounds like you have, it has evolved since you've had people see it and gotten feedback. How much before that first showing do you share your work with other people?
Well, since we've had a couple, like, in-process showings, we usually just, like, have the designers or whoever is working on it come to our, like, final run-throughs and stuff and get feedback that way. So it's mostly, like, a team of people that I trust. And then, but, you know, we'll put it up in all stages of development just because I feel like with anything that's longer than, like, 15 minutes, you really need to try it a bunch to get it right. Like, if you just are doing my preferred method, which is like sitting at home and saying it to myself, like, yeah, you're not gonna know if it's good,
yeah,
or not.
Well, and different audiences are gonna have different feedback.
Totally.
Like, and especially if they know you and your work versus somebody coming in cold being like, I don't know anything about you or anything about serial killers, I'm just watching this. Like, I feel like, I don't know, relationships could affect experience.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I met someone who saw Ambition at AnFest.
What?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's from Seattle, and he saw it.
He's from Seattle?
He's from Seattle, and he
saw
it.
Yeah. And he just happened to see it?
He happened to see it. Well, you also babysit his friend's kid.
Oh, Dan?
Dan. And he was like, he talked about it. He talked very highly about it.
Oh, hey, that's nice. I was really worried because it was, he came with my boss, basically. And it was like sort of late and I couldn't tell if they liked it. So it's nice to hear they did.
Yeah, that's always a high pressure situation when it's like your boss and their friend.
Yeah,
but there are different reactions, I imagine, like people who like know you and know your work opposed to like people who like never seen your work but
or
only
like
heard about it.
And I feel like also speaking to like the evolution of your work, someone who saw something you had written 5 years ago is going to be like, wow, your stuff has changed, but these like, this is still solidly you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's all a process, man.
Hashtag process.
Hashtag process.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was bringing it back to Undiscovered. I have UDC here, so I keep wanting to say UCB, and I'm like, that's not right.
Close.
Very close. Bringing it back to Undiscovered, I know that you have another show coming up very soon, as in next month.
Yes we do. We have
July 18th,
8 p.m. at Bazaar Bushwick. We're really excited.
Admission
is free. Have we said that yet? We're excited because it's sort of, we have themed months and then we'll do months that are non-themed. This is a non-themed month, so everyone can, you know, sort of submit whatever they like, which is always kind of exciting. I love our themed months too, but I like to see what people are like working on of their own volition.
Yeah, parameters.
Yeah, totally. So it's going to be, I think we have a stand-up comic going up. Alton's doing a piece that is...
It's an art piece. It has to deal with Wink NYC, those like kiosks that have gone up around the city that take place of payphones. It's like you have access to the... Yeah, it has like free Wi-Fi that you can connect to, and it has... you can browse the internet and you can make phone calls anywhere in the U.S. for free.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like I've seen like homeless people using the internet. It's like all over Manhattan now. And it's like in beta form. But my boyfriend and I, Ryan Austin, who's an artist, we're doing like a video to put up on the Link NYC kiosks as like a... it's part like commercial, part like I don't know, investigatory, like use of public and private space.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's weird.
I always really enjoy your pieces, I have to say, whenever you do them for Undiscovered.
Oh, cool. Well, that somebody does.
Right. Well, it's because it's always stuff like this that's I guess out of the ordinary. Mm. Last month. Last month the theme was reality TV, and you had put up that really, I was in it, so I feel like I'm being a little bit...
But sort of randomly.
Yeah, it was an accident that I was in it.
No,
it was accidental.
She was not a plant. Like many people think she was a plant.
It was a volunteer basis. But it was this really powerful piece where we got to be part of a reality TV show, quote unquote, where you just kind of came up and asked us a lot of questions and told us, gave us a lot of directions, and then the audience got to just watch the reaction of it. And while I was in the midst of it, I was thinking, like, man, this seems so brilliant. I really wish I got to see this from the other side.
Well, me too. I wish I recorded it. I mean, Kayla got it. I'd never done that before. So it was very like, what's happening right now?
Well, then, did you have a piece in the sci-fi one? And was it January?
No, I did not have a piece in that. I watched it.
Just saying that I was there with Nasa at that one.
I loved that one.
That was so good. I was saying there was this one skit with this guy. He's like, I want to be a motherfucking dragon.
Yeah,
and I want to say that
Chris
all the time.
Ogren,
and no one will know what I'm talking about. I'm like, a motherfucking dragon, guys.
You can just
and
see
everyone
it,
just
say
looks
it.
At me.
Yeah, Chris Ogren did that piece.
And it was really, I mean, I stole that spotlight production from Chris's piece because that spotlight was really good on him.
Yeah,
he always does great pieces, too.
Yeah, that was a good month. Sci-fi was really fun because we asked for, like, unconventional sci-fi narratives.
You did a dance.
I love how you
did a dancer.
Yeah,
that was really cool. Lauren's piece.
Oh, yeah.
Lauren
that was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really pretty.
Was that at the beginning?
Yeah, the very
first
thing.
It was towards the beginning.
I'm chronically late.
Me too.
I was like, dance piece? I didn't see that.
Yeah, because you are a dancer.
I dance. But
cool.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Some people don't dance.
I don't dance.
at
and
all.
And if you don't dance enough.
I've gotten to the place where when I'm in like an exercise class where they have dancing, I don't fall miserably behind. But that doesn't, that's my quality of dance
I'm
experience.
Terrible at those classes, by the way.
Yeah. Like dance exercise?
I'm the one in the back like, I'm a butterfly. And they're like, and kick and kick. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. I'm just going to
one, two, three, four.
I always get off
what are numbers?
And I'm terrible at like memorizing things quickly. And so they're like, okay, guys, I'm going to show you and then we're going to do it. And I'm like, you're funny.
I think the only exercise dance class I've ever taken was like Zumba at my hometown YMCA, and everyone was older than me, so it was awesome. It was so fun.
It's such Zumba, a nice
I think
ego
a
boost.
Normal one in Manhattan with all these like really fit girls who actually know how to dance, like, I would cry. I would just break down and be like,
I think that is the appeal of Zumba is it's all ages and all like
abilities
sort of. And aptitudes. You have people that are not like on beat, but they're just having the time of their lives, and that is all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm gonna get off of that. I was about to go into my own story with it, and I'm like, no, Nasa, focus. Another really cool thing that I was excited about is that there are now writings and drawings integrated with the Undiscovered.
Yeah, we're sort of gearing up. This is sort of still in the works, but we're hoping to... we've had an insert in all of our programs for the past year, and we have a lot of local artists and local writers who will contribute a little short story or an illustration to it. And I think we're hoping to turn it into a zine for our fourth birthday.
We want to compile them all together.
Yeah, it's been some cool stuff. There's been photography. There's been a lot of illustration. And a huge variety of writers.
It's really cool way of like commissioning other artists who might not want to come up on stage.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely there are people who are not performers who
are very
creative, and giving them space to be.
I think that's what I've liked about. I mean, I was not part of the Undiscovered Countries board when it started, but like I've been there since the beginning, and to see how it's grown and developed into like this like multimedia outlet for people to like experiment and like create new work and, you know, throw things against the wall and see what works and what doesn't work. I think it's really great.
Yeah, it's like a safe space for artists of all variety.
We have people who just come up and tell stories, and that's like my favorite. It's like they're just storytellers.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's so good.
Which makes me think of are you familiar with the Bushwick Book Club?
Yeah.
They were on our show last week, I think. That was last week.
It was last time. I know, man.
Yeah, time. But that's something that, in my experience, I really enjoy about them is it's like, okay, you can bring this thing that's really polished, or you can also be like, I wrote this last night, and it's really rusty, and, you know, nobody's going to be like, you... I don't know. It's creating safe space for experimentation and... you know, just doing something for the sake of doing a thing.
Yeah, because I think artists really need that, since art ultimately is to be viewed in the long... Like, the audience is as much part of... I am a very big believer in the audience is part of art.
Totally.
Because otherwise it's a journal or it's something private, but in order to open it up, that's what creates the discussion.
Yeah. It's a conversation. There's this response element. Yeah.
So I love that there are safe spaces around for artists to be able to do that and to feel free, and that Undiscovered has grown to, because I believe they're the producers or associated with Ambition.
Yeah, they totally are. We developed, you know, the first showing was at Undiscovered Countries, and so Undiscovered Countries has sort of been key in developing that piece, as well as
Pilgrim Notes,
our friend Aiden Lenahan.
Which opens tonight at
5 p.m., 5:10.
Five. I'll be there at 5.
Five is safer than 5:10. That's a weird show story. But he has written a solo piece, also sort of about serial killers. It's a narrative about a young man who sort of is like has fallen in love with and is sort of also manipulated into a relationship with an incarcerated serial killer, and it's
was also developed at Undiscovered Countries. It's been shown in three parts there. And the founder of Undiscovered Countries, Caroline Faustine, is directing it. So there's a lot of sort of like inbred talent working on it.
Yeah. It's really cool to be able to see like people working on longer pieces over time and then have them actually do it at one point.
This is my question, kind of jumping back a couple minutes to creativity. It seems like having this space for creativity feeds into your other, like, I guess, things. So whatever you're doing outside of Undiscovered Countries is fed by what you're doing in Undiscovered Countries, right?
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah. I think that's totally accurate.
Yes.
It's quite lovely. It's one of my favorite things, just in general. So,
I think it's one of the first things you told me about in our relationship.
Yes, it was, because you had mentioned that you dance sometimes and that you really enjoy the art community, and I was like...
Yeah, and I was just moved to Brooklyn, and I was like, be my friend, how do I find community?
Well, it's something I like to pass on to anybody I meet, because I just think of how important it is to have a safe space for art. And I say this as someone who hasn't entered anything in because I'm terrified of entering in my writing.
Or to just be an audience member and
to experience it.
It sounds like a vampire thing, but just to like be fed and inspired by the work of others.
It's really wonderful, and it's such a lucky thing in that it's free and that it's bi-monthly and that it has stood the test of time.
And NASA's going to submit something within the next year.
Yay. Oh, I am.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I just created a goal for you.
I know. Thank you.
Well, I do love that.
You're welcome.
I think one of my favorite things is, like, we have people who've never done certain things before that come up and, like, try it for the first time. Like, wasn't it? Like, there are a couple of comics who have done it for the first time with us, right?
Yeah, there's a couple stand-ups, Liz Rogers and Al Guillen, who both started doing stand-up with us and now have done it at other venues and other places, which is, one of my favorite things.
But they both, like, killed it.
Yeah.
Pun intended. But they really did. Yeah. And to hear that they had never done that before...
It didn't seem like it was their first time. But sometimes even, like, if someone goes up and it doesn't go well, it's still sort of, like, heartening.
They have a supportive community behind them that is really excited for them.
Yeah.
We're going to start wrapping up. We have a few minutes left, and we like to end our shows with Rapid Fire, which is a series of questions, and I will go first in honor of Father's Day. Is there a book that reminds you of your father or your father read to you growing up that stands out?
To Kill a Mockingbird. My dad liked it and he was a lawyer. I actually don't know if he read that book. I might have just made that up. Oh my God. But he does like For Whom the Bell Tolls. For sure. That's real.
Anybody else? I remember my dad used to make me read the book before watching the movie, so things like Black Beauty and The Secret Garden always stand out because I wanted to see them, and he'd be like, are you done with the book? And I'd be like, yeah, almost.
I have a weird, it's not weird, it makes sense, but Hop on Pop.
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of
sense.
So cute.
It was just, I read the title. I don't even know that I've ever really read the book or read past like the first three pages. But I read the title and used to just go up to my dad and be like, Hop on Pop! And my dad was like, nope! But so it became like one of my favorites because of that.
Nice. Nice. Nothing?
No. Oh, I grew up in a TV household, so Berenstain Bears. I did love the Berenstain Bears. Or Berenstain Bears?
Berenstain?
I don't know.
Someone told
me. The Bears.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Did you have the actual name or what someone had told
no,
you?
No, someone told me it was Berenstain, and my mind was blown. I was really sad.
I don't think that's right.
I thought
it was Berenstain.
It doesn't sound nearly as
good. Yeah, it's Berenstain. I always thought it was Berenstain.
I always thought it was Berenstain.
Yeah. What books do you most often... Wait, sorry, wrong one. Do you have any favorite podcasts or Netflix addiction? Like any secret?
That's you.
I love Netflix. I'm like, yes. I'm into Love right now. Love is
really?
Yeah, I like it. It's really like weird. I'm really excited for Orange is the New Black.
Oh my god,
that just
yes.
came out yesterday. I haven't watched any of it.
I know, I haven't. I love how they create this like binging culture. They're like, and here's all of it. And
it's
you're like,
terrible.
Oh my god, I have to call in sick to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, you have to like set aside days. Lerman's new show.
Oh, yes, yeah. That's amazing.
I thought it was like Get Down or something.
Boz
Lerman
like a,
show.
Isn't it like a salsa?
Yeah, ooh. It's some like music show. And it looks incredible.
I know, this sounds amazing.
Lemony Snicket.
Oh my god.
Yes. I remember, that on
I'm
Netflix,
so excited.
Like, next year,
yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh.
I think
this is just like my calendar of like shows to watch now.
I know. There's so many. There's a new one with Winona Ryder that I'm really excited.
Oh, yes. That looks amazing.
Yes,
I love Winona Ryder. She's my favorite. I love that girl.
Is this on Netflix?
It's going to be on Netflix. It's like a sci-fi show.
Yeah. My boyfriend has a crush on Winona Ryder and Tina Fey, and it was only when I saw the like trailer for this that I realized they look exactly the same.
Yeah, now that Winona's a little bit older, they look
exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah. I'm into, like, on the theme of murderers, I liked, did you guys watch The Jinx? Uh-uh. Oh my gosh, it's on HBO Go, so it's not quite Netflix. So good.
Still accessible, just find a password. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, find a password. They're everywhere. They're like on the street.
And HBO encourages sharing.
You can probably Google password and you'll find nothing.
Yeah, and like Making a Murderer was really good on Netflix. If you haven't watched that, it's like mind blowing.
What about that Bojack's?
I'm not that into podcasts, but I do love things you didn't learn in history class, things you missed in history class. Love that
Sorry,
podcast.
I didn't mean to have a freak out. That was the one I was going to say. That's been my latest obsession. I've
so good.
Gone back a year at this point in their archives.
Yeah, totally. They cover some really interesting stuff.
Oh my
and
God,
sort
yeah.
of, again, like non-mainstream history narratives.
Yeah.
The things that are important to know.
Yeah.
My question is, I feel like people have this book that they read when they're an adolescent teenager that, like, changes them. It makes you think something or feel something, and you're like, I am now different. Did you guys have a book that did that for you?
Oh, well, mine are all, like, really cliche.
That's okay. I love cliches.
Yes.
They're cliches for a reason, right?
The Giver.
Oh, that
It was just like that one and probably like Perks of Being a Wallflower, which is like the most cliche.
No, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
There was this one called A Day Without Pigeons or something, and it's about a town that didn't have any pigeons, but once a year they'd bring in all these pigeons and everyone would shoot them. And then this one kid is like, I'm not going to shoot my pigeon, so he keeps it in the closet. And then I don't know. At the end of the book, he somehow ends up in New York City, and he's surrounded by pigeons, and he's like, look at all these pigeons. It's like The Giver, except with pigeons.
I'm intrigued. I love, this is for young adults, and I love, like, young adult fiction is definitely one of my favorite.
Yeah, it's so good.
To dive into. Yeah.
I loved Little Women and Anne of Green Gables.
Yes.
When I was 8, I was Jo March for Halloween, and I walked around with a book, and no one knew who I fucking was.
I
was
so
the most amazing
dress. I was Anne of Green Gables 3.
Yes! I love Anne of Green Gables because of the hair. Yes! Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's my jam. And the PBS special, oh my gosh. We just started calling this random guy Colleen Dewhurst because she played Aunt Marilla in Anne of Green Gables. She knows what I'm talking about. Everyone else is like, who is this? What is happening?
Oh my goodness. I've already gone with my favorite one on this one, which is Footy Cootie, which I watched as the anime before watching or before reading the books. That one so much influenced me. And I think I did Ghost World, which now I feel super guilty about for saying that wasn't the one that influenced me as with my father, because my dad is the reason I know of Ghost World. Mm-hmm. But the book, the comic book, is so much better than the movie. I just rewatched the movie, and the movie is like nothing compared to the comic book. So
often the case.
Yeah. Crumb is another one I had mentioned in last week's show.
Robert
my dad
Crumb.
Used to just throw things at me and threw a book of Crumb at me. Those aren't necessarily the best of influences, if you think about it, into my teenage.
But I think, what I really liked about Crumb is how, like, shocking.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, he was revolutionary at the time, but for me, when I first saw him, I had never seen anything like that before, even if it's not hypersexualized, like just his comics were like, what is this?
Yeah.
Robert Crumb.
Did you have one?
Ed? Oh, I always say Klein of the Cave Bear because that's the first book I masturbated to.
Ooh.
What is that book?
It's about cavemen.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What is the best writing advice you have been given?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Sorry, I'm reading this on a very tiny thing, and reading is hard for me sometimes.
I think probably, like we talked about before, kill your darlings. Just cut it. Cut it. Cut it out.
Goodbye, darling. Yeah. Quick, while you're thinking, because I have mine, and you can think of yours. There's this clip with John Oliver talking about science. Have you guys happened to see this floating around the internet this week? Anyways, he talks about how ridiculous the media portrays science. They're like, science suggests that if you eat chocolate during your pregnancy, blah, blah, blah. And he, like, he doesn't go to the extreme. He's like, science says if you eat chocolate, then your baby will be chocolate and you can eat it. It's only 2/3 of it. I don't know where I was going with that. Killing your darlings, yes. Like, just eating your babies.
Anyways,
for me, best writing advice is, like, it can suck. Give yourself permission for it to be really, really bad. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
I think I'm not a writer, but just do it. Like, just write every day and just, like, don't judge it.
Mm.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, that would probably be mine as well.
Yeah.
Especially from somebody who gets so nervous about writing or about putting up stuff. It's really nice to have the calming words of just write, just write.
Just write.
And if it's bad, it's bad. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Just put it out there.
Yeah, you have to do it in order for it to be done. Done is better than perfect.
Precisely.
Yeah. That's my
Yeah.
other
mantra. Done is better than perfect. I think that's great.
Yeah. Also, write drunk, edit sober.
Yeah. That's good.
Either or both.
Yes.
Great. My turn. What books do you most often recommend or gift?
I have gifted Just Kids by Patti Smith to a lot of people because I feel like it's a really great book that a variety of people would enjoy. I also recommend a lot of like I don't know, Toni Morrison, because I love her. If you're listening, Toni, I love you.
I think I've been given and have gifted Murakami books most recently.
Mm-hmm. Those are solid.
Yeah, I was given a Kafka on the Shore, and I was like, what is this? It's so good. Mm-hmm. And I read most of his other things now.
For me, it is either The Princess Bride.
Oh, my God. So good.
It's so good.
The book is amazing.
The book is a million
Except
times better
so
than the movie, and the movie
the
is
book.
So good.
I like that, though.
I do, too, but it is kind of like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's definitely true. No Robin Wright in there.
Yeah.
Nope. Which is, like props to Robin Wright for completely, you know,
classing
changing
it up.
Yeah.
Classic character, yeah.
And Eyes of the Dragon by Stephen King. Which is
that.
One that no one has ever read. He wrote it for his daughter because his daughter was like, I can't read scary books. Write me something I can read. So it's a fantasy novel.
Oh, cute.
By Stephen King. And it's amazing. And I've read it like 5 or 6 times. And it's one of my favorites.
Because I don't read Stephen King either. So I'll have to throw that on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming.
Yeah. And I'll leave you with the word take it or leave it. Lead Leon.
Time for one more. And I expect we'll see you guys soon enough. I was meant for the stage. I was meant for the curtain. I was meant to tread these boards up. This much I am certain. words meant for applause. I was meant for the shouting. I was meant to raise these hands with quiet all about me. Oh, oh. Mother, please be proud.